You are listening to Leaning Toward Wisdom, the podcast. Did I scare you? It's episode 5039. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. I am your host here. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. Today, let's talk about escape velocity. It's just a mere 7 miles per second. According to the Northwestern website, a spacecraft leaving Earth needs a speed of 7 miles per second. That's about 25,000 miles an hour in order to leave Earth's atmosphere without falling back. Yeah, you don't want to fall. I formed the habit of using metaphors and hyperbolic language to convey ideas in business, and I did it because early in my career, I was leading and managing sales teams, and I needed to make things easy to understand, relatable, connectable. I started in sales, and so I suppose I did it because I sat through too many sales meetings that were technical and a lot of details and just dry, boring stuff that was presented with all the panache of a cardboard box. And I want to be anything but a cardboard box. We're hitting the record button today on Saturday, August the 24th, 2019. Man alive. Summer, where did you go? When the Eagle landed on the moon on July the 20th, 1969, I was 12 years old. And maybe that had something to do with it. Business success, I learned, relied on having a successful launch or a takeoff. What does that mean? Well, it means you don't crash. And we looked at our very curved black and white TV tubes, anxious, certainly hoping that the Eagle would not crash on the moon. But we had seen Apollo missions, and we had watched these rockets lift off. And we knew that it took a lot of thrust, a lot of horsepower, a lot of oomph to get up and go and to keep flying. And if you're flying high like a spacecraft, then, well, you got to get to orbit, because that's where you can kind of safely fly without fear of crashing back to Earth. And what that means is you have to escape gravity. Gravity, the infamous killer. You know, technically, it's escape velocity. It is the speed required to get beyond the Earth's atmosphere, beyond gravity and the pull of gravity. Thanks to the brainiacs, you know, these physicists and other scientists that are much smarter than me, they have figured out, they know the speed that's required to do this. Turns out it is 7 miles per second. Well, that's impressive, right? Similar comparisons have been made to other forms of flight, like regular planes. In business, and if you're not in business, don't worry, but in business, we often talk about runways and a business needing runways. Well, planes need runways. The bigger the plane, the longer the required runway in order to build up speed so it can take off. And that's kind of the visual that's pretty easy for everybody to understand and make a application to a business that basically needs time to build up speed and get momentum and get liftoff and be successful. If a big plane is going to achieve liftoff, needs a longer runway than some little lightweight single engine job. And so it is with a business. A business enterprise needs runway. Namely, that means cash and capital to get off the ground. And businesses will they crash and burn if they run out of capital. But we're not talking about business. But it is all about getting a lift. It is all about going higher. It's about getting up in the air and being able to stay there. It's about getting off the ground. We're talking about leaning toward wisdom. We're thinking about our lives, which very well may include business and include our careers, but it's not, I would hope that's not the sole thing of your life. Your life is comprised of more than just that. It's the total thing, every aspect of your life, the complete person that is who you are. And maybe more importantly, is the complete person that is who you most want to become. That's typically called our ideal self. And after all, escape velocity is important because we are all trying to escape something. There was a character on this Amazon Prime series late at night, just, I don't know, you know, you kind of need something to binge watch every now and again. And I stumbled upon Poldark. You seen this show? Poldark. It's an Amazon Prime series. It was a PBS masterpiece series. I didn't see it there. I'm catching up on Amazon Prime. And one of the characters, Elizabeth, at some point she makes this utterance, "I won't feel sorry for myself." And it happened at a time when she lost everything, including her house, including her status and all of that. Yeah, it's set in old England. And it was a powerful declaration by this character who said it with such determination that she was going to escape this misfortune that had befallen her family. She said, "We'll find economy and rebuild. We'll find economy and rebuild." I mean, this was a family that had lived in luxury, and they were not among the common people. And without knowing the end of the story, when she said it, I believed her. I believed her because she just seemed determined. She seemed like the kind of woman determined to build enough momentum to escape this present reality. And so, as I began to keep watching, she was heading toward escape velocity. She did achieve it, by the way. Spoiler alert. Too late now. History teaches us valuable lessons. That's probably why that popped up as kind of a suggested thing on Amazon Prime, because my wife and I watch a lot of historical kind of things. But recently I revisited the 13 subjects, they're often called virtues, crafted by Benjamin Franklin. He created a list of 13 things that he wanted to work on to escape his status quo. He wanted to go to new heights of achievement. And he formed this list while he was a printer in Philadelphia and he was swimming in debt. The idea was simple but brilliant, and as many brilliant ideas are, simple that is. He would devote one full week to each subject, each virtue. And after 13 weeks, he would start over again. By the end of a full year, he would have spent 4 full weeks on each item. Now, there is very little doubt that Franklin thought by concentrating on these things that he would be able to escape the mediocrity and the failure of his current life. Let me read what he wrote. And this is the order that he wrote these in. Number 1, temperance. Eat not to dullness, drink not to elevation. Number 2, silence. Speak not but what may benefit others or yourself. Avoid trifling conversation. Number 3, order. Let all your things have their places. Let each part of your business have its time. Number 4, resolution. Resolve to perform what you ought. Perform without fail what you resolve. Number 5, frugality. Make no expense but to do good to others or yourself, i.e., waste nothing. Number 6, industry. Lose no time. Be always employed in something useful. Cut off all unnecessary actions. Number 7, sincerity. Use no hurtful deceit. Think innocently and justly. And if you speak, speak accordingly. Number 8, justice. Wrong none by doing injuries or omitting benefits that are your duty. Number 9, moderation. Avoid extremes. Forbear resenting injuries so much as you think they deserve. Number 10, cleanliness. Tolerate no uncleanness in your body, clothes, or habitation. Number 11, tranquility. Be not disturbed at trifles or at accidents common or unavoidable. Number 12, chastity. Rarely use venery, sexual indulgences, but for health and offspring, never to dullness, weakness, or injury of your own or another's peace or reputation. And number 13, humility. Imitate Jesus and Socrates. Those were the 13 virtues that, well, at the time, a young Ben Franklin thought were important for him to work on in order to elevate his life as he was searching for escape velocity. Hey, just here, let me interject an update on Project Hashtag Craving Encouragement. You can visit the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com/craving, if you want to learn how you can participate in this project. And no, there is no money required. Stories, stories, stories. This is what I want. I want your story of a time when somebody encouraged you in a meaningful way, a way that made a big difference in your life. And I will tell you that this is going to be it. This is going to be it. This is going to be my final, well, not my final update and not my final mention of an opportunity for you to share your story, but the final mention of an opportunity for you to make a financial contribution. And let me begin by saying I'm thankful, I'm grateful to all the people who have contributed. Your donations warrant a special thank you, and I have done that by way of an email list that you financial donors are now part of. And you should have gotten a couple of emails from me. If you have not, check your spam folder. And I'm now going to stop behaving like a carnival barker. I'm less than $100 away. So I'm really close to reaching the financial goal of adding a Rode Rodecaster Pro to the Yellow Studio. And if you care to contribute, I do have some special rewards for you. But again, no financial contribution is necessary to participate because primarily I want your stories. And so let me thank you in advance for participating in this project. And Lord willing, we'll get the Labor Day holiday behind us and we'll get into September and I will begin scheduling some Skype calls with those of you that have made financial donations and I'll be recording your stories as you will allow. Again, you can find out all the details by going to leaningtowardwisdom.com/craving. Okay, back to Ben Franklin and his 13 virtues. He came up with these and obviously felt that they would make him a better person, a more successful person. He was clearly aiming to grow personally and professionally. And by coming up with these 13 things, he figured that he would devote a full week to each item over a 13-week period. Then he would repeat the process, and he would repeat it again, and then he would repeat it again. I mean, it was a plan to work on a specific item for a week and then to work on all 13 over 13 weeks and spend an entire year working on all 13 items four times. Today, we know a whole lot more about the brain and the mind than Franklin could have ever imagined in his day. But it does seem that he intuitively knew that forming good habits was necessary to escape gravity's pull toward failure and foolishness. Now today, that's just common knowledge, even though we often ignore the power of it, that is the power of a habit, or we quite often fail to put our habits to work. That is, we don't spend enough time and effort to change our habits or develop better habits. But habits that will accelerate our speed and enable us to reach a higher altitude in life, Ben Franklin, he had some grasp of that. 7 miles a second, that's the speed required to escape Earth's gravity. Seems fast, right? Seems really fast. Some years ago when the space shuttle came back into Earth's atmosphere, and as I recall, the shuttle was flying from east to west. It was going to land somewhere on the west coast. And my wife and I were out walking, and that was our habit at the time. And so we knew to look for this thing. It was blazing across the sky, and we were told, yeah, you'll be able to see it. You'll be able to see it. So we look, and we see this vapor trail coming from the east. And I mean, within 30 seconds, I would say, it went from being visible on the eastern horizon to not being visible at all on the western horizon. I mean, this thing was streaking across. We saw it on television as we left the house, and we were only minutes into our walk as this thing got into the atmosphere. And I mean, it got across the country in no time at all, really fast. In your head is this gray matter, this brain that has the capacity to eclipse that speed. I mean, speeds that are virtually instantaneous, because you can change your mind in an instant. You can make up your mind in an instant. Now, I grew up in the Apollo era, and you know, all the rocket launches that we anxiously watched on television, it was clear that these things required tons and tons of planning and building, and every detail was prepared, great precision. But when the launch sequence was activated, and you could hear that announcer counting down from 10 down to liftoff, man, everything changed. Instant acceleration, instant progress toward this long-awaited goal. You know, you can gather facts and you can gather information as you prepare your mind for that moment of truth. That is the launch of something better. But boy, do a lot of people get stuck in that mode. Plan, prepare, plan some more, prepare some more, plan some more, learn something else, plan a little bit more. You know, just never get off the ground, because they never hit launch. Never, ever hit launch. Learning does not bring about change or improvement. That is, new information will not bring about change or improvement. Learning doesn't provide escape velocity. I was doing a little bit of Googling just before I hit record to just kind of see how big is the personal development market? That was really my question. And it appears that it is more than a $10 billion industry annually, and it's on the rise. Go figure. And it's estimated, at least by this one report that I read, I'll put a link to this if you're interested, that by the year 2022, it's going to exceed $13 billion. This is a big, big market. We are all interested in improving. I didn't say we're all interested in putting in the work to improve, but we're all interested in the notion of improving. Well, question, how much of that money is actually going to provide a return? If right now it's in excess of $10 billion, is there any kind of a return on that $10 billion? Well, of course, there's some return, but I'm going to venture it's largely wasted. I mean, how many people who participate in the personal development market as consumers, how many are going to do anything with the information that they learn? I'm not a statistician, so I really don't have any idea how to best figure that out. But it has been surmised by a lot of people, especially at conferences and workshops and seminars, that that person up there who's presenting this information to us, that fewer than 1 or 2 out of 100, that is, fewer than 1 or 2% of anybody in that crowd is going to take anything that's presented to them and actually use it. Because the fact is, most of us aren't going to take any meaningful action to incorporate whatever new knowledge comes into our life. Because, well, next Tuesday happens, knocks us in the dirt, and we move on with our life. And then we go chasing the next new thing to learn. And we don't do anything with it either. I don't know if there's some psychology thing happening there that we kind of feel good about ourselves because we're amassing knowledge, but even though we don't do anything with it. What this means is that there is a lot of money invested in learning how to achieve escape velocity, but there's very little done to make it happen. It was Aesop who wrote, "After all is said and done, more is said than done." And boy, is that right. I mean, look at your life. Look at the learning that you have engaged in through the years. You know more today than you have ever known. Truths, opinions, viewpoints, they are more bountiful in your life today than they've ever been. Do you know enough do you know enough? And you may say that you don't, but I would argue that you likely know plenty enough to be doing more than you currently are. It's not a question of, do you know enough to surpass all other humans? It's a question, do you know enough to surpass who you were yesterday? What's the answer for achieving escape velocity? Is it more information? Is it more learning? Is there something that we just don't yet know that's holding us back? And boy, if we just knew that, that would change it all. Well, no is the answer to the first two questions. Is it more information? No. Is it more learning? No. Yes is the likely answer to that third one. Is there something we just don't yet know that's holding us back? Because there likely is something we don't yet know that's holding us back, but it's not so much learning as it is understanding. It's not more information that holds us back. It's a lack of understanding coupled with the failure to incorporate that understanding into actions. So we continue to learn new information, and mostly we don't do anything with it. I mean, it doesn't serve any useful purpose. It doesn't help us achieve escape velocity. Okay, we're packing more information into our brain. I guess that's got some intrinsically good thing. But we remain stuck in this orbit where we have mostly been for a long time, likely, growing increasingly more comfortable where we have always been, kind of enjoying this orbit that we're in, even though we hate it and we would like to be in a higher orbit. But, you know, it's just, it's vastly easier to just peer out into the future, and we just wish for some magic carpet to take us to a different orbit, a magic carpet. Even though we know there is no such thing. But we dream about it, and the dream consumes us. It consumes us far more than the willpower or the determination to put in the work. Okay, well, let's not be so cavalier. Let's not be so rough. Let's not be so hard on ourselves. Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe we should. Because frequently we just seem stuck. Stuck because we don't know how to proceed. We don't know what to do. What do we do next? When we struggle with knowing what to do, the easy course is often to do nothing, hoping that time will just enlighten us, time will make it happen. And we've all tried that. We've all embraced that strategy way more than we would like to admit. It's highly likely that that is the strategy that we are currently deploying. Let's just hope it works out. Let's just hope it gets better. It's never worked before. And guess what? It's not going to work ever, but still it's still the strategy we're going to deploy. I get it. You get it too, because we all do it. We want answers. We want answers about the unknown. Oh no, we don't want to make the trip. Are you kidding? I just want to know what the answers are without making the trip. But that's what escape velocity is all about. It's venturing into the unknown so we can, at last, find out. And no, it's the determination to figure it out. Not by sitting around speculating, not by wondering, not by dreaming, but by actually making new discoveries. You won't figure it out. You will not figure it out just by thinking about it. You figure it out by trying things. You figure it out by doing things. You figure it out by going to places that you have never been. I remember early in my career having conversations with folks about income. Yeah, go figure. You know, when you're young and ambitious and everybody's grinding hard and climbing hard. And there was a time in my youth where if a person was earning their age, that was considered to be success. So if you were 30 years old and you were making $30,000 a year, that you were doing well. Now, the economy has changed, inflation and all that. So that math doesn't work anymore, but back when it did work, it was really amazing how many people just had a really hard time thinking about making that kind of money because, well, they had never made anything close to that before. And it was just really hard to get your head wrapped around. And I remember having countless conversations with my peers as people would name a number, you know, like, what's your number? What's your big number? And they would throw out some number that just seemed ridiculous to everybody. And then as time went on, as my career advanced, and as I began to achieve some income levels that were vastly bigger than any of those numbers, and it just, I don't know, I remember thinking, you know, it's just, it's not so different. It's not so different, but it's very different on the other side. It's very different when you've not achieved it yet, when it's the unknown and all the fears and all the trepidation and all the angst. It's just how it goes. From what do you want to escape? What fears stand in your way? What questions weigh heavy? What relationships need mending? What forgiveness needs extending? What sins need forgiveness? It could be a big list of questions that we can need to ask ourselves. Ben Franklin formed his list of 13 virtues or subjects based on what he felt he needed most. And it's quite easy to read between the lines and see where Ben's life was and where he felt like his life needed to be based upon what he wrote and this list and maybe the order that he put them in. It's time to form our own list, I think. Our own list of 13 things, the things that we need to incorporate into our life so that we can achieve escape velocity and take off for higher altitudes. Because it's not horsepower that you need. You've got the capacity to achieve the necessary speed. It's called mind power. The power of a mind made up, the power of a mind decided, a mind that will refuse anything or anybody to stop them from doing something in an effort to escape the present state of things, a mind determined to reach something higher, something better, something wiser. Okay, so you're ready to tackle the beginning work? That is the creation of your own list of 13 things. Yeah, just here I can hear a collective sigh, and I hear everybody go, wait a minute, what? A podcast with homework assignment? Sure, why not? Why not? Let's do some homework. By the way, you do know that I own the URL waitaminutewhat.com. Have I ever told you that? It doesn't go anywhere. I don't think I've got it connected to anything at all. There's no website. waitaminutewhat.com. Yeah, I hear it just so frequently. Wait a minute, what? You know, when somebody hears something that they're not sure they got it right. I do. I own it. I thought I might make a podcast of it when I first got it, but I never did anything except think about it. See, that's how life goes. I thought about it. Hey, I got the URL. I didn't do anything else. Nothing else. Proof that we do a lot more thinking about doing things than actually doing things. Okay, back to the homework assignment. Now, this is work that you owe it to yourself. You it's not going to be for me. You don't even have to share it with me. If you want to, I'll let you. You know how to reach me. You don't have to share it with anybody if you don't want to. You're not going to do this to prove anything to anybody except yourself. It's an exercise that's all about you doing what you need to do to create the best version of you that you want. Is that sentence got enough you's in it for you? It doesn't hinge on what anybody else thinks. It doesn't hinge on what anybody else wants. It doesn't hinge on what anybody else expects. It just hinges on your ideal version of yourself and what 13 things you know you need to work on in order to get there. Now, I know they're going to think, 13? I can't come up with 13. And then other people are going to think, well, just 13? I mean, that hardly seems exhaustive enough for all the things I need. Benjamin Franklin, who started out, according to history, kind of quite arrogant and full of himself, he really learned to consider himself very ordinary. History has proven that he was just anything but ordinary. I mean, here was a very creative man given to carefully and soberly consider things, but he was a man unwilling to stop there. He was unwilling to stop with just mere consideration of things. He was a man more driven to achieve and accomplish. I can't answer where that comes from, but he had it. He was a man who considered who he was and who he most wanted to be. And I read the thing that he figured out that this is what is going to make the difference. This notion of who he was and this notion of who he most wanted to be, that made the difference, not information, not knowledge. And this is what seemed to drive him to become the man that we today know, this man that history remembers. He was only 20 years old when he crafted his list of 13 virtues. 20. Now, before you start thinking how young that is, you need to realize that in the 1700s, you were probably doing pretty good to survive to reach the age of 35. Franklin was 84 when he died. I don't know. That says something. Right? We think of these founding fathers as all being just a bunch of old guys all of their life. By the time he was 24, Franklin had become the official printer of Pennsylvania. And he had also formed the Junto, a group that met every Friday evening to discuss life, to debate philosophy, to devote themselves to self-improvement. He was 3 to 4 years into this habit of working on this list of 13 virtues. You think that's a coincidence? No. Doubtful. I mean, the man was dedicated to the work. And there was marked difference in his life post these 13 virtues and post the practice of these 13 virtues than his life prior to that. I mean, yeah, you do the math. He helped incorporate the first subscription library in Philadelphia by the time he was 25. His publishing efforts expanded during the 1930s, and it was during that period, at the end of 1730s, I should say, and it was during that period of time, it was around the end of 1732 when he published the first edition of Poor Richard's Almanac, and he would do that for 25 consecutive years. And in that almanac were all those memorable quotes like early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. His ambition then, by the time you get to the 1740s, expanded into scientific inventions and business enterprise. He formed the first scientific society in the colonies. And then toward the end of the 1740s, he was easily considered among the richest men in Pennsylvania. Now, there's a lot of things that we can thank Ben for. We can thank Ben for bifocals. We can thank him for the rocking chair, for the discovery of the Gulf Stream, for the establishment of the University of Pennsylvania. And he also invented the lightning rod, the odometer. And he was among a handful of men who architected the Declaration of Independence. More than 8 years ago, a friend of mine from the UK, a gentleman by the name of Keith Davis, Keith was running a website about public speaking at the time, and he asked me if I would record a short video so he could post it on his public speaking website. So I fired up my webcam and just, I had been thinking about Franklin, and I gave it a go. I'm going to embed the YouTube video. It's me on a webcam here in the Yellow Studio. This is 8 years ago, but here's the audio portion of it. It's just a little under 4 minutes. When you think of all the great things that have been invented and all the wonderful innovations that have happened all over the planet, I think they all stem from a single question. Two words. Why not? Why not? Benjamin Franklin was the guy who came up with fire insurance back in 1752. Why not? You know those library stools that you can stand on so you can reach books? Ben Franklin, he invented that. Why not? The rocking chair. Why not? Why not a rocking chair? Ben Franklin. Bifocal glasses? Well, laser surgery, contact lenses are probably outmoding those, but the odometer. And you know why he invented the odometer? So they could calculate the distance and postal routes. Go figure. But why not? Now, all of that is in addition to electricity. Well, why not? Why not electricity? Now, I think it's also a valid question, not just for inventions and not for just innovation, but it's a valid question for us to ask when it comes to our own personal desires and dreams and aspirations. Why not? Why not? I mean, sometimes we have such self-limiting beliefs and notions and fears, and we cross bridges that we'll never get to. We see monsters everywhere in the shadows, like the little kid going to bed at night. You know, it's leaving a nightlight on with a child. What a moronic thing. Just enough light in your room, little boy, little girl, to cast weird shadows and weird shapes on the wall and really just scare you half to death. Yeah, why not? Well, we don't want to scare our kids. But why not? Why not chase whatever it is that you feel the urge to chase? Oh, I know. There's safety in not advancing. There's safety in not taking a chance. There's safety in not trying something. Oh, and heaven forbid if it should fail, if it should not work. Well, you could argue somebody else would have invented the rocking chair. I mean, you kidding me? Took Ben Franklin? Well, maybe not. Maybe old Ben was the one sitting around one day going, why not? Do you suppose that in Ben's day, people did what they do today? They leaned back on the back two legs of the chair, kind of teetered. Ben probably thought, a rocking chair where we can rock back and forth. Why not? And we look at it today and we think, well, how hard could that be? How hard could it be to come up with the notion of a rocking chair? Well, somebody had to do it. It happened to be Ben. My question for you that I'm going to leave you with, why not you? My name is Randy Cantrell. See ya.
And there you go. That was 8 years ago, a little over 8 years ago. Today, we see the glorious successes of Ben Franklin. You know, the failures, we don't pay them any mind. They have largely gone unnoticed through the centuries of time. Truth be told, the failures weren't even likely that outstanding in his lifetime, thanks to the success that he had. And that's really kind of what happens. It's what happens in most people's lives. Success overshadows failure. And that is likely why he wrote this: do not fear mistakes. You will know failure. Continue to reach out. Continue to reach out. Ben was a man who was given to achieving escape velocity. His many failures began early with a number of unfulfilled apprenticeships. His father was quite displeased. He had a number of failed inventions. He was not exactly a rousing success as a husband or a father either. But it's his greatness that we remember. Not his perfection, which never did exist, or his imperfection, which always did. It can never be said that he didn't contribute. It can never be said that he did not help create what was to become the greatest nation that the world thus far has ever known, Ben Franklin. Leaning toward wisdom isn't about us becoming perfect. It's not about us making ourselves more noble, making ourselves more honorable than we truly are. It is about working to embrace greater wisdom in our lives. It's about our doing our best more often than not to behave in ways that best benefit our lives and the people around us. This is not a quest for our personal perfection, but rather an unrelenting push for us to just get better and better and better and better, to reach a speed in our lives where escape velocity is possible, a speed that will allow us to reach new heights, new orbits, new places, new achievements that just aren't possible where we are right now. It's about making a commitment to not merely thinking about becoming better, but it's about doing the work to actually become better one day, one week, one year at a time. And maybe to employ what Ben did, 13 virtues. 13 virtues, performed one a week for 13 weeks, and then rinse and repeat four times a year. It worked for Ben. You can look at his life before the 13 virtues
and measure his life after, and it's a big difference. Now, the first act was merely the creation of the list, but it was the work put in every week to knock that list out, to make that list a reality. Yeah, that was the rub. That was the rub. And I guess today I need to leave you with, I need to leave you with what I left that video presentation with. Why not? And why not you? Well, I don't know why not. And that's the reason we recorded today's show, kids. Hopefully give you some encouragement, propel you forward, help you achieve escape velocity, because you got it in you. Don't sit around and think that 7 miles a second is all that fast, because what you've got between your ears can run way faster than that. The human mind. And there it is, episode 5039 of Leaning Toward Wisdom. Again, the website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. If you want to participate in Project Hashtag Craving Encouragement, just go to leaningtowardwisdom.com/craving. Well, we got Labor Day weekend coming up next week. That's the official end of summer. And once we get that behind us, I will be reaching out to those of you who have contributed financially, and we will begin to record some of your stories. Something I would like to continue to solicit. If you would like to send me a recording of your story, do it. You can go to that page on the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com/craving. You can find out how to submit those to me. You can send me your MP3s or whatever other file you care to. All I ask is that it be listenable and brief. I'm not looking for 15-minute stories here. And I'm probably going to make this a segment of every episode. That's the plan. So we'll see how it goes. So I need to keep the stories rolling. And again, this is the last call for financial contributions. I'll stop barking like I'm working the Texas State Fair. I do greatly appreciate it, and I'm really close, and so we'll see. See what happens here inside the Yellow Studio in future days. That's it for me. Finish the summer strong. Come up with your list of 13, and if you care to share those, I'd love to see them. In fact, if you're brave enough and you want to join the Facebook group, you can do that. You can share your list right there. That'll be a bold declaration. Yeah, I dare you. That's right, I dare you. My name is Randy Cantrell. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio.